I do not have a joke to share with you at this moment. I'm having scarcity of jokes. But the reason really is that I want to speak longer than usual, slightly speak longer than usual, and I just want to crave your indulgence. In this weekend liturgy, we celebrate the feast of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. The feast also brings to an end the Christmas season cycle, as we look forward to begin the season of Lent shortly. This feast affords us the opportunity to reflect on Christian still worship. This is because at Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan, he publicly inaugurated his still worship role as the servant of Yahweh, appointed by the Father to begin the work of our redemption and establish the reign of God. In this process, he incorporated all those destined to be saved through the waters of baptism, calling them to join forces with him through the church in exterminating the kingdom of darkness and foster the reign of God through our stewardship roles as missionary disciples. As I read through the weekly bulletin of the first weekend of this month, January, I came across a little write-up with the title, Thank You. The words underneath it read, and I quote, "We at St. Bernard Parish have so much to be thankful for. We have so many parishioners throughout the year that give their time and talents to our parish. Volunteering and being part of any ministry at St. Bernard is a gift to our parish." End of quote. This parish truly deserves such praise and acknowledgement. From the day of my arrival to this parish until now, I have realized that this parish is among the busiest parishes within the diocese in terms of the willingness and the eagerness of parishioners to get involved in the various ministries and committees and groups, and who are forever doing things to promote the parish life. I have heard many visitors to our parish remarked how generous, how welcoming, and how cheerful everyone seemed to be. And that is quite a credit to our parish. You know, however, we do have our little challenges, and they will always be there. If you negate those challenges, then it means probably you are living in an utopian world. Because as long as we are humans, and we continue our struggles, challenges will always be there. But one thing is sure, because as children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and having Jesus in our midst, we will always surmount those challenges. Without any shadow of doubt, the parish has recorded some successes this past years, and all due to our parishioners' stewardship roles. Despite the fact that the parish budget had shortfall or deficit in our finances, which many of us know the figure, we are still grateful to Almighty God, who, working through the hearts of some individuals in our parish, made generous donations, bringing about a reduction in the deficit. And we are truly, abundantly grateful to these parishioners. I thank everybody for the unique roles they have played so far and are still doing in advancing our parish forward. And I look forward to seeing more people get involved in the parish life, which is the body of Christ, and we all form part of that body of Christ, all of us. On this note, I want to encourage everyone, especially as we are still at the threshold of a new year, that we start this journey with deep reliance on God of all providence, with greater confidence and determination, and new resolve in our ministry of stewardship. Having stepped into the new year, it is customary to remind those who made financial pledges to continue to sustain their promises by fulfilling their vows, just as the sacred scripture puts it in Psalm 116, verse 14, and I quote, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people," end of quote. This is equally an opportunity for others who have not done so to do likewise. Loyalty and fidelity are two essential components of Christian stewardship. Speaking of stewardship, it is very pertinent that we remind and refresh our memories on what stewardship entails. Let me begin with a background to stewardship. This is because how we view God determines how we live and act. To this end, we begin with a scriptural quote from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. And it says, and I quote, "Everything in heaven and on earth is yours, and you are king, supreme over all. All riches and wealth come from you. You rule everything by your strength and power, and you are able to make everyone great and strong," end of quote. This particular scriptural quotation establishes God's ownership, God's control, and God's provision. The Lord God created all things, and he never transferred the ownership of his creation to people. You and I own nothing. Recognizing God's ownership is crucial in allowing Jesus Christ to become the Lord of our many gifts, which include money and possession. I deliberately mentioned money first among other gifts. This is because most people totally separate their spirituality from their finances. They say, "God, you can control the rest of my life, but I am in control of my money." And some others will say, "God, you may be the Lord of my entire life, except in the area of money. I am perfectly capable of handling that myself." Yeah, from our actions and everything, that's what we're saying. It is very true that money is often a primary competitor with Christ for our affection. Knowing this pretty well, Jesus instructs that we must choose to serve only one of these masters. He says, and I quote, you cannot be a slave of two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." End of quote. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible reveals that God is closely involved with our finances. Over and over, Jesus equates how we handle our money with the quality of our spiritual life. In Luke chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus says, "If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth?" End of quote. The true riches in life grow out of a close relationship with God. God uses money to refine character. David McConaughey explained almost 100 years ago in his book titled Money, the Acid Test. He said, and I quote, "Money, most common of temporal things, involves uncommon and eternal consequences. Even though it may be done quite unconsciously, money molds people in the process of getting it, saving it, spending it, and giving it. Depending on how it is used, it proves to be a blessing or a curse. Either the person becomes master of the money or money becomes the master. Our Lord uses money to test our lives and as an instrument to mold us into the likeness of himself." End of quote. Money is regarded as an index of a person's true character. And money, like all other gifts, must be put into use in the services of God's church and of his people. It is all about realizing that God is the giver and owner of all that we have. Many people fail to realize this because God has chosen to be invisible to us and chose to operate in the unseen supernatural realm. However, we are to be genuine followers of Jesus Christ. We must transfer ownership of our possessions to the Lord. That is what Jesus meant when he said in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, and I quote, "You can't be my disciples unless you give up all that you own or have," end of quote. When we acknowledge God's ownership in every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision. And when we acknowledge that all our gifts come from God and are to be used in the service of God's world and his church, all our actions in that regard become spiritual actions because they are sanctified by the Holy Spirit residing within us and who is prompting us to act. Besides being the creator and owner, God is ultimately in control of every event, including difficult and unpleasant events. So this, God speaks in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 6 and 7, and I quote, "I am the Lord, and there is no other God. I create both light and darkness. I bring forth blessing and disaster," end of quote. The Lord allows difficult circumstances to enter our lives for at least three reasons. One, to develop our character. Two, to accomplish his loving intentions. And three, to carry out that loving discipline on us when needed. Next, God is the God of provisions. He promised to provide for our needs. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you besides." If God has taken ownership, control, and provision, what part or responsibility has he left for us? Indeed, God has given us great responsibility. He has made us to become dispensers of all his gifts. You will recall at that moment when Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, then what happened? He handed it over to the disciples to distribute to the people. The word that best describes our part or responsibility is steward. A steward is the manager of someone else's possessions. Psalm 8 verse 7 says, "You appointed them rulers over everything you made. You place them over all of creation," end of quote. This is to say that the Lord God has given us the divine authority to be stewards. Therefore, it is a sacred office, and we must hold it as such. We must be proud when we engage ourselves in stewardship role. We must be proud. We should hold our head high. I mean, God has deemed us, worthy and capable of handling that office. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops defined Christian stewardship as, and I quote, "As Christian stewards, we receive God's gift gratefully, cultivate them responsibly, share them lovingly in justice with others, and return them with increase to the Lord," end of quote. Christian vocation necessarily entails the practice of stewardship. All members of the church have their own roles to play in carrying out the mission of the church, which is stewardship in union with Jesus Christ. But Jesus said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. All Catholics have obligation to give their generous support through their time, their money, prayers offered, and personal service according to their circumstances or state in life, to their parish and to diocesan programs. And one of such diocesan programs is the Bishop Appeal, because it's channeled towards the propagation of the Christian faith. Therefore, it is our personal responsibility as stewards to gratefully give back to the Lord in proportion to the blessings we have been given. The sharing of our gifts in the form of service is a tangible expression of our love for God and of our neighbor. May we continue to look to the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, who is the model of steward par excellence, for guidance in living as Christian stewards. And so, talking about the many ministries and committees and groups that we have here who are wonderfully doing well, you know, and coming up with different activities, some of which we are not aware of. We don't even know some of these groups. So for the fact that we want to have proper coordination of these different groups and proper representation in the parish pastoral council, I want to call for a meeting of all the heads and representatives of these groups, of these ministries, for us to come together and discuss and be able to come to the realization of what I just said about proper coordination and representation in the parish pastoral council. So we're going to do this the last week of this month. It could be either 28th or 29th of this month. The time for that will be made known to you either this coming weekend or the next, you know, for us to actually get things going in this regard.